My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
Welcome back. Junkies coming to you live on 106.7 The Fan and the Team 980 here in the DMV, 910 The Fan, 105.1 FM in Richmond. We are streaming live on the Odyssey app, and you can watch us on the Monumental Sports Network. Brought to you by friends at Crop Metcalf, the official heating and cooling company of the Junkies. Joining us right now on the BetQL Guest Hotline, Kevin McCarthy, Fox 5 Entertainment Reporter. Hey, Kevin.
Kev. I tried to punch him up. There he is.
Good morning.
Hey, Kev.
Good morning. Good morning.
How are my friends doing this
morning? Happy Friday,
Kevin, you're a big football guy now. What is your evaluation of the Jahan Dotson trade?
Absolutely no idea who that is.
Wow.
Oh, okay.
I thought you likes the quarterbacks.
I thought you were all in.
Like, top quarterbacks.
I thought you were all in last year.
Aren't you looking forward to the season?
Oh, no, 100% looking forward to that. I don't follow, like, generally, like, leading up to that. I mean, last year was the first year I really watched, like, a full season. But, I mean, in terms of, like, I don't know. I just find it fun on a Sunday to put those games on. But at the end of the day,
All right, so you can't.
He's a Ravens guy, too. He's a Lamar guy.
You can't name a receiver other than Terry McLaurin on the roster?
No, it's funny. Like, probably quarterbacks are the main players that I would be focusing on. I don't know a ton of the other players
Let's go back to movies. I'm sorry. But you knew
it's
something.
Okay, Rick.
So you saw two movies, Strange Darling and Blink Twice. Where do you want to start?
Well, Strange Darling. So you guys listen. This is a movie that everyone needs to see. I think once I explain this, I think you guys need to go out and see it right away. Jason, I feel like if you went and saw this, you would text me and say that's one of the best movies of the year.
Okay. All right. Here we go.
Look it up on Rotten Tomatoes. I mean, I'm not
100% on Rotten Tomatoes. That's what I'm seeing.
100%. 100%.
It's a thriller.
How often do you see 100% on Rotten?
Very rare, and I'm giving it a 5 out of 5. I'll just tell you that right out the gate.
Nice.
Did you guys watch the show Reacher?
Yes.
I've watched some.
I love that show.
Do you remember the actress Willa Fitzgerald, the lead actress in the show?
Which season? Was she the lead actress in?
In season one. I've only seen season one, but look up Willa Fitzgerald. You know exactly.
Yes, I know who that is. Yes.
So the movie, it stars her and Kyle Gallner. It's one of those movies where I can't really tell you anything about it without giving anything away, but the two taglines I'll give you is that it's like a twisted one night stand that turns into a serial killer's murder spree. And it is everything that you think is going on in the film, it flips around so much and so often that, like, you're basically in a sensory experience watching the film and you're so locked in because you're trying to figure out what's going on. It's like you almost become a detective as an audience member trying to figure out the reality of the situation. It takes place over like 6 different chapters and they go back and forth in time. It's very, very well done. I've never seen anything like it, like, in recent years. You know, when you put something on, I didn't watch any trailers. I didn't know anything about it. All I knew is that it had great reviews and you sit down and watch it. And sometimes you just find like a gem of a film. I would recommend anybody out there listening, do not watch the trailers for this. Just go in cold. I think a lot of the reviews for it have been, you know, they've been using the term, I saw somebody put the term of assume nothing. And it's like, we as audience members, we're so used to the same type of film and the same arcs all the time that we think we have things figured out. And this movie just kind of just takes you on a ride that I haven't been on cinematically in a long time. Like, it's very well done.
So this is opening up in theaters?
Yeah, it's in theaters today.
Right.
It's a smaller film. It's like a smaller studio. And I think with the success of Long Legs, which I think was like a $10 million film, made about $98 million, you know, these smaller films really need theatrical audiences to kind of, you know, these are the types of movies that we can get if these movies do well. Like, Long Legs is a huge success story because it also basically tells you that you can put out original stories, you can put out newer types of films. Even though Long Legs is basically a Silence of the Lambs type of film, it's still an original concept within the idea of the world. And so that's what's the beauty of it. I mean, you can have the Deadpools and Wolverines, you can have, you know, the major films that make hundreds of millions of dollars or $1 billion in Deadpool Wolverine's situation. But it's these smaller films that don't really cost a lot of money. You know, you guys ever heard of the horror franchise called Terrifier? Have you guys ever heard of those movies?
No.
Terrifier.
No, you've probably seen images of this character called Art the Clown, but that's another example. The first movie cost $35,000.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the second one cost not even maybe $500,000. It made $15 million at the box office. And so I bring that up because there's a lot of originality and a lot of original thought process happening in these smaller films, and they need audiences. Like, there's a new movie in theaters this weekend called Stream, which is made by the filmmakers who did the Terrifier franchise. It has like a 5-day run, but it's made independently. It's made by the same people who work on those films. And there's a whole movement happening online where people are buying tickets for their friends just so people can go out. And I think Strange Darling, I think, will have it needs people to go out and see it because you want more movies like this.
So I'm looking at the cast. You mentioned Willa Fitzgerald. I do remember she played the police officer in Reacher.
Yeah.
In season one. All right. So they're just listing her as the lady and then Kyle Gallner as the demon. Are those the names of the characters or do they have names?
So I'm gonna let that one.
You want to let that one slide a little bit? Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
At the beginning of the film, you're not wrong. Those titles you're talking about, Lady and the Demon, those are told to you, and that's all I'll say. And
okay.
So basically, yeah. And so as I mentioned, it's essentially like a one night stand that turns into a serial killer murder spree. But I won't say how or why or what goes on. But it's incredibly well done. The music is insane. It's one of those movies where you're sitting there and you just, like, you know, when you're at home sometimes, I had to watch a screener for it. When you're at home, it's easy to pick up your phone and get up and do things. I was locked. It was like locked in. Like, I loved it. It's a 5 out of 5. It's one of those gems and surprises of the year that I did not see coming. I'm interviewing Willa on Tuesday. Kyle Gallner, you've seen him he's been in like a lot of the horror films. Like, he was in the Smile film. He was in Nightmare on Elm Street remake. He was in that movie Red Eye.
Yeah, I recognize him.
Yeah, you've seen his face before.
All right, well, I can promise you, since I love thriller films, especially serial killer films, I won't see too much going on this weekend, but I will see it early next week.
Text me after you get out. I do not see any scenario where you look
I don't like it. Okay.
That's a lot of pressure. It's a big statement.
All right. What about the other guys? Are you guys interested in it based on
the
plot?
No.
Yeah. Sounds good.
Bickle doesn't he doesn't like movies anymore.
I'd like to see it.
Bickle, I mean, I know you like lawyer film, courtroom dramas, but are you not a serial killer? Like a serial killer, like,
he doesn't like the violent movies.
Yeah, I don't really like things that are going to haunt me.
Can I ask you a question? So I took a period of time in my life where I couldn't watch certain things because they're just, the news in the real world was so brutal. Mm-hmm. But a lot of these like films, like the Terrifier films and things like that, they're done in such a cinematic way that I can separate. Mm-hmm. But I don't know if it's for you, Eric, as you got older, maybe when you had kids or when your kids were getting older, some of those brutal films you just can't watch. I don't know. Did that happen to you later in life, or were you always like that?
I don't know, dude. I think I was always like it. I just didn't like going to movies and getting scared. But there's no point in that.
Yeah, it doesn't appeal to him. He's not going to like this one. But I'll go see it early part of next week.
Text me when you get out, man. I genuinely think you're going to dig it. You didn't see Long Legs.
I didn't because you didn't love it, right?
No, I loved Long Legs, but Long Legs had something.
Oh, like, I know what it was. Cake saw it, and he said there was something missing at the end, so that did it for me. I had no interest.
This is better than Long Legs.
Okay. Any like sexy movies coming out? Like anything with like super hot chicks and maybe some gratuitous nudity?
I'm trying to think. I mean, that was like a 90s.
Yeah, what about like an Eyes Wide Shut of 2025 or something? Like,
oh my God.
Come on,
dude! Eyes Wide Shut is a weird movie. That movie is messed up.
Yeah. Hey, we only have a couple minutes left. Tell us about Blink Twice because I saw a trailer for that. Looked interesting.
Yeah, so this is Zoe Kravitz. She directed this movie. It's Channing Tatum and Naomi Aki are the two leads of the film. Basically, and Kristen Slater's in it. Haley Joel Osment and Channing's character basically is a billionaire who buys an island, and he invites these two friends out to the island, and it's what's happening on the island is not what it appears to be. And again, I'm going to be very vague about that as well, but this is, you know, a thriller. There's a horror aspect to it as well. But Zoe Kravitz made her directorial debut. She's obviously the daughter of Lenny Kravitz, but really an amazing artist, in terms of a filmmaker. I was very impressed with like the sound design, the score, the way it was shot. Again, a very intriguing story. You really don't know what's happening throughout the film. You're trying to guess. And I think Channing's great in it. I mean, he's obviously riding a big wave right now from Deadpool Wolverine. And this movie was obviously a passion project for him because I think him and Zoe are either engaged. I know they're together in real life. But I think it's a really great performance from him. It's dark. It's really brutal. It's a very well-made film, but also just like, you know, again, like you were saying, Eric, if you're not really into the thriller violence type of genre, it definitely hits those marks as well. But
what's your rating?
I give it a 4 out of 5.
Two movies you liked.
Yeah. I mean, go see Strange Darling again. Like I said, you know, it's at the end of the day, like these are the types of movies that need like your support in theaters. And Drab and I were talking before the break. You know, people will go to the movies if there's something interesting or intriguing to see. I mean, the movie It Ends With Us ended up doing $200 million worldwide. You know, as I said, Deadpool Wolverine did $1.1 billion. It's now the highest grossing R-rated film of all time worldwide and domestically. So people go if there's something interesting. So we'll see what happens.
All right, Kevin, talk to you next week.
All right, love you guys. Talk to you soon.
All right, buddy.
All right, he didn't know who John Dotson was, but I saw a video of Ross Tucker. Now, he was talking about the Philadelphia Eagles perspective. He was raving about the trade from the Philadelphia Eagles perspective.
Mm-hmm.
We've been talking about it from the Commanders perspective. We'll open up the phone lines at 800-636-1067. What do you think the move tells you about the front office? We'll tackle that next here on The Jump.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former all-pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.
Welcome back. Chucky's on 106.7 The Fan and the Team 980. Been talking a lot about Jahan Dotson. Yesterday we find out that the Commanders traded away their 2022 first round pick wide receiver Jahan Dotson, who had a really strong rookie campaign, caught 7 touchdowns as a rookie, but last year was a down year. They trade him to Philadelphia. Philadelphia adds him to a receiving corps where they already have A.J. Brown and Devontae Smith. So they're going to be loaded at wide receiver for Jalen Hurts. What does this tell you about the Commanders' front office? There are some that believe it tells you that they know they're not close and they're acquiring draft picks.
To me, it doesn't tell me that. Maybe I'm just in pure denial. I don't think we're close, but it doesn't tell me that. It just tells, because I think if they would not take away something if they thought it would hurt Jaden's production and development. So I think they just think that for whatever reason, Santana wasn't or the right fit. He wasn't popping. They had other guys that were fit just as well, if not better. And we can get some assets for it and continue this rebuild and not really lose that much. That doesn't mean that they think that we're just going to be awful.
So that's a tweet from Barry Zwerluga. Here's the exact tweet. He tweeted, "The Jahan Dotson trade shows you exactly how close this front office thinks this team is to competing, which is to say,
not close. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think they can compete.
Yeah, but, I disagree with that.
But like, you know, like we've said many times, no one expects them to do anything outrageous in the division. I mean, it's a tough division. You got a rookie quarterback, possibly a rookie left tackle, whole new coaching staff. Look at all the players they added, just the 1 and 2 year deals. You got a whole new roster.
Mm-hmm.
And I would agree. I don't think they would have eliminated an offensive threat if it was going to hurt Jaden Daniels.
Right.
You just have to trust that Adam Peters and Dan Quinn know what they're doing here.
I think honestly, and I don't mean this in a personal way, but I think it's more of an indictment on Jahan than it is the team. Sorry. Mm-hmm. He's saying, and Barry could defend himself if he wants to come on. He's always welcome. But he's saying it's an indictment on the team and they're nowhere close. I'm saying, no, it's more of an indictment on Jahan. He doesn't really fit this scheme or whatever. I'm not saying he sucks. I don't think he does. But it's more of an indictment on him than the team.
I just don't get
I think his point is they traded away. And I think you have to throw the first round thing out of there because sure. Rivera kind of screwed up.
Nobody cares. Nobody cares.
So I think he's just saying, all right, well, you're trading away a guy who was a starter for the last couple of years. And so what's that tell you about their future plan for this year?
Yeah. They're either going to make another move, which some people are possibly.
Or they're going to rely on unproven guys.
Make another move or that they're going to draft a guy next year. I mean,
I don't think they think it's a negative. I don't think they think it's a subtraction. Like, JP's looking at it.
They wouldn't have done it.
Yeah, JP's looking at it like they're doing this and it made the team worse. Barry's looking at it and it made the team worse. I don't think it did.
I think it makes the team worse.
They probably don't think that, but it's possible.
And the part that I don't get, and coaches give you different messages all the time, but this coaching staff was all about, we don't just force feed a system. It's about getting the best out of these players and putting them in the best spots so they can be successful.
Mm-hmm.
But EB keeps saying he doesn't fit into the system.
Well, sure. Am I supposed to change the whole system for one guy? I got five other guys that fits the system. So why should I change the whole system for one guy? That's my counter to that. I can counter anything.
But if I told, but if I told you this,
literally an elite arguer.
You know, we'll find out. Yeah. We'll find out how elite you are.
Elite, world class.
I don't think you're. I don't think you're wrong about the way they looked at Dotson. That's it's a subtraction to the team, no doubt. But if I would have told you at the beginning of the offseason that your starting receivers next year were going to be Terry McLaurin, De'Ami Brown, and Alameda Zaccheaus, what would you have said?
So that's terrible.
Before you knew, you had Jaden Daniels.
I would have said, "Well, I don't have faith."
You would
in
have
De'Ami.
Said, "It's one of the worst receivers."
I'm giving you my answer. Right. I would have said, "I don't have faith in De'Ami, and I don't. I've never even heard of Zaccheaus." That's what I would have said to you.
You would have said De'Ami sucks. Mm. You wouldn't have said I don't have faith in him. You killed De'Ami.
No, I didn't say I didn't have faith in him. I would say
you killed him last year.
I don't
go back to the tape. Tell me how many times he said De'Ami sucks. We can get rid of him.
I don't know if I've said that, but he hasn't done anything. Right. I would say that. Anything of note?
De'Ami Brown would kill for Jahan Dotson's career. Mm. I mean, De'Ami Brown's been in the league for three seasons.
Maybe he puts up
he's
seven touchdowns
for
this year.
Three seasons.
Do you guys understand this?
And he's given you a total of 29 catches and three touchdowns.
Right.
Like, my point about De'Ami Brown.
So you think that's the problem is you just think that's who he is.
No, he might bump up, but.
What if he wasn't used properly?
Which is what I'm saying about Jahan Dotson. He's proven himself as a talent where there were some people that thought he was one of the best rookie wide receivers two seasons ago.
Mm-hmm.
He caught seven touchdowns.
Mm-hmm.
This staff should have been able to unlock Jahan Dotson based on what they saw two seasons ago. That was their job. That's what they said. We're going to get the best out of these guys. So are you telling me the best is behind Jahan Dotson? Maybe.
Possibly. I don't think
it's possible.
Put it this way. He ain't going to have, I don't think he's going to have 50 catches with Philly.
Probably not.
Right.
No.
But that's also because of the
playing time. He ain't going to be featured in Philly.
But if
he's number three.
But shouldn't this staff with Cliff Kingsbury been able to say, okay, the guy caught 50 balls as rookie and seven touchdowns. We can do better than that because we're a better staff. We got a better quarterback. We got a better system. He's good. In motion, so we'll run some motion.
All I can tell you is you're looking at it in individual pieces. They're looking at it as a whole. At the
I'm
whole
not stupid.
Offense.
I get it. I understand.
I didn't say you were stupid.
I doubt it's going to work. Okay,
I'll bet you they score. What's the end of the day, what matters? Scoring points. This offense will score more points than last year's offense because of the collective talent and coaching process, scheme, all of it. Are they maybe lacking a little bit in one area, but maybe they're making it up in others?
Yeah.
Maybe. But this team, that's at the end of the day, what matters? Score more points.
I don't think anybody's
score more points. Bet me.
That's not that's not saying a lot to say that they're gonna score more points than last year. Last year they sucked.
Last year they were about 25th. They were scored 19.3, I think, per game.
Right, but, so they didn't even get to 20 a game.
Okay, I think
so. They better score more points this year.
Okay, but you just told me they got worse.
I didn't tell you that.
Who gives a crap?
I think overall the team is better.
If I got a little bit worse here, but I'm better there.
Overall, like,
because maybe they would be is the net goal.
Because maybe they would be even better if they retained Jahan Dotson. It's an unknown. There's a lot of unknowns. You're speculating. Yes, I think they're going to score more points. Simply because of Jaden Daniels.
I agree.
Eric, I'm not saying that they're worse without Jahan Dotson. I'm saying there's just more question marks.
And I think Jaden Daniels.
At the receiving position, I think there's more questions.
Yes. Okay, that's fair.
They might be better.
That's fair, but
I think maybe some of these guys are better than Jahan Dotson.
But at
I don't
the
know.
End of the we'll day, Adam Peters, Dan Quinn goes, make this offense, rev it up as best you can.
Mm-hmm.
And they think it's going to be better.
And I think Jaden Daniels would be better with better weapons.
Mm-hmm.
That's what the league is doing with young quarterbacks in particular.
What if he can't get
They're
open?
Trying to help young receivers by acquiring talent. That's what the Houston Texans did. They said, yeah, Nico Collins, Tank Dell, pretty good last year.
Yeah.
Let's add Stephon Diggs. And you see the Eagles, they could have been comfortable. Hey, we got two stud receivers who make a ton of money. We're cool with that. But, instead, they said, let's load up even more.
But they might have said, all right, you know what? Luke McCaffrey's better than Jahan Dotson.
True.
So he's going to be that guy.
True.
Whatever Dotson did, whatever role he played, Luke McCaffrey, our rookie's going to be
I actually think they think Zacchaeus is better.
Maybe.
You may not think but Zacchaeus but I think is this tall. So.
Right.
I know, but
so he's not like this big physical receiver.
No, but he might be still tougher.
I'm sure that's a possibility.
You know what I mean? Plays with more physicality. Yeah. My son, I know no one cares about my kid. I'll just give an example. My kid could be the same size as another kid, say, in lacrosse, and just as strong. Deadlift 515 pounds. 530, actually. But he's a shooter. Mm. He wasn't a physical in the crease guy. Same build. Mm. Same size. My kid probably even deadlift more than your kid, but your kid plays more physical than my kid. You know what I'm saying? So,
It didn't work. It didn't work. Yeah. For whatever he was offering just didn't work for the team. I get it. I'm just saying now there's just more question marks with the receiving corps.
Absolutely. But maybe they
I know Dotson wasn't a world beater. I know that.
Maybe they've got a master plan. Like again, on ProFootballTalk.com, it's changed. The headline was basically, Commanders back in on Brandon Ayuk deal, or it's still possible.
Well, again, that would be manna from heaven. That would be amazing if that happens. I find that hard to believe.
Kind of shocked that they traded Dotson, but I would even be more shocked if they traded for Ayuk.
Me too.
But I could be wrong.
All right, maybe the 49ers are getting more desperate because last I checked, he hasn't signed with the 49ers.
He hasn't.
And he hasn't agreed to the trade to the Steelers.
I want to ask you one more time. J.P. Flame. My longest running friend, like a brother to me, no JP better than anybody in the world. Do you believe that trading Jahan Dotson is hurting the offense and hurting Jaden Daniels?
I would bet yes.
Okay, they don't think so. All right,
But they
so
might
you're
also
on the record.
Have, they might also have a master plan of, and it might not even be this year. It might be like, we're
you think
not going to be
punting this year.
I think they're punting their receiving core to an extent. If they keep it just with what they have right now, their wide receiver production will be less than the wide receiver production from last year.
That's a good question. I'd like to look at that. I might take that.
Offensive production, I believe, will be better. Just because you've got Jaden Daniels. And you have Austin Ekeler. Austin Ekeler.
But he wasn't effective.
I think their tight ends is an upgrade. I think Austin Ekeler is an upgrade.
Exactly.
But I think the receiver, downgrade.
Well, if all the others offset the other and
well,
then
we have
some,
to wait and see.
Who cares?
We'll have to see.
Well, you want to uplift them all.
You also
does
Washington have a better quarterback situation now?
Yes.
Yes.
Better coaches.
They do.
Assume a better scheme. I could scheme up better offense at Bieniemy.
But I don't know how many points.
The poison.
I don't know how many points they're going to score. I have no idea.
They're going to score more because they have better scheme, better coaches, better quarterback.
I agree with Jason, though.
Again.
Defenses are not going to be scared of their receiving corps.
If they score one more point per game, that ain't great.
No, it's not.
I mean, it's got to be considerable.
Okay. But
19 a game sucks.
Okay. Go through. You went through Kingsbury. You're jocking him for 1 and 2 point per game. Increases
well,
year to year when he was in Arizona.
No, he went up 4, and that's a big difference.
And I think he ended up around 23 or something like that.
He ended up at 26.
I'm going to say we go from 19 to 21, 22. Okay. And I'm not saying it's great.
Right.
I don't think we have the best talent.
Yeah, you're right.
But I think it's going to be better.
All right, let's hit the phones. We've struck a nerve. 800-636-1067. How are you feeling about this Dotson deal?
Mark, what's up?
Mark, This is a bad deal.
Why?
This is a bad deal. And I'm going to tell you why. Because Howie Roseman has become our generation's version of Bobby Bethard. Okay? Now Jalen Hurts has no excuses now for this team. They have the best receiving core, I think, in the NFC. Eric, let me explain something to you, man.
There's nothing you can explain to me, but go ahead.
Okay. Let me explain something to you, Eric. Now, if you're going to argue with me that Jahan Dotson shouldn't be picking the first round, I totally agree with you.
I'm not arguing that.
He should have been picked at a late second, early third. But Watson was using him as a slot receiver. And that's what Philadelphia's going to use him as a slot receiver. And when I look at how Chicago has Caleb Williams set up and how we have Jaden Daniels, the GM in Chicago is running circles around Adam Peters right now. We had all this cap money. If what Grant said was correct about what Cliff Kingsbury felt about Jahan Dotson, why didn't we go out and get a receiver at free agency? We had the cap money.
They did upgrade.
Well, they might have whiffed. They might have put out offers and guys go elsewhere.
That's also true.
And that's my point. We don't know what their next step is We don't know. They might be saying behind closed doors, we know that we have taken a downgrade at wide receiver, but we'll address it either now or we're going to address it next season. We're playing the long game.
Which means
why would they think they took a downgrade at a guy that did nothing all camp, nothing in the preseason? Why do they think they're downgrading? The guy didn't do jack.
Which brings me to Jaden Daniels. Jaden Daniels is going to start thinking, just like another quarterback did 12 years ago, that he has to do everything for this team to win. And if that's the case, that's what scares me right now of his growth. Caleb Williams is going to have toys where Jaden is going to have to do everything. And that's where I think they have failed this quarterback right now.
All right. All right. You're on the record. You're on the record, Mark. You're on the record.
Well, that's where coaching comes into play because you know, if there's a coaching staff that just says, all right, Jaden, go out and do your thing, we're relying on you, that's one thing. But this coaching staff is not going to put him in that position.
JP.
And they are going to be more balanced than people think, I'm telling you. Just because we're talking about Kingsbury again.
Yes.
They are going to run the ball.
Yeah, it's going to help overall.
Yeah.
They love B-Rob. They love Eckler.
Now, I don't know if that's going to mean 23 points per game
as opposed to
19.
I think it's going to mean 21 to 23.
It could.
Last year, Terry McLaurin had 1,000 yards receiving. Curtis Samuel actually was number two at 613 yards. Jahan Dotson down year, 518 yards. That's a combined approximately 2,100 yards between their top three receivers.
All right, let me ask you a question.
You want to make that bet?
Let me process it during the break because I wasn't listening to you. If you gave Cliff Kingsbury truth serum, you think he would say, we're a worse football team today than we were yesterday?
No, of course he wouldn't say
that. Hold on. No, you gave him truth serum. Yeah. Not like he's like literally he's telling you the God's honest truth and his belief.
Probably not.
Okay. I agree with that. I agree with you.
If you gave him truth serum, would he say we have enough at wide receiver?
Oh, I don't know if he would say that. I don't know.
I don't know. You know he wouldn't say that.
I mean, he could always have more talent. Course.
Look, Dan Quinn admitted to us when he had him on the show. He said, "You know, we're not there with our receivers." Basically said that.
Well, I think not there at knowing who's where, who's what.
Yeah,
he didn't say our receivers blow.
They went out and signed Martavius Bryant, bro. Come on,
they haven't even played him.
They signed him though because they said they needed a 6'4" receiver.
I think they're stashing him.
I'm not saying that they're counting on him. My point is that they're not happy with the position. If you think they are, you're kidding yourself.
I never said they were happy.
Right, they're not. If you were to ask Cliff Kingsbury, do you have enough of a receiver? I guarantee you'd say no. We need to upgrade.
But you're kind of implying that they're happy because you're positing that they have enough players.
I'm just telling you they don't think they got worse.
Well, maybe.
We're arguing two different things. Could they be better?
I'm not
better?
Saying they got worse.
Of course
worse.
They could.
I'm not saying they got worse.
We don't have any leads.
I'm saying that the core unit ain't that great. They would admit that, too.
I'm not arguing that it is great.
All right.
I'm just saying, collectively, as an offense, we're going to score more than we did last year. And ultimately, that's what
matters. Kingsbury's probably part of the decision. Because they talk in offensive meetings. And Kingsbury's probably saying to Quinn and Peters, Dotson just doesn't do enough.
Of course. He was a massive part of it.
I would agree with you that Kingsbury's not going to admit that they're worse. I'm just saying, when you look at on paper, the receiving room, where do you rank that right now? Pretty low.
And there are some whispers about attitude.
If we score more points and we're better offensively, collectively, that's ultimately all that matters. Who cares if I got the greatest defensive end in the history of football? I just want my defense to be good.
Well, if you had better players, you know you're going to score more points. Right now, I don't know if they're going to score more points. You're convinced.
I'm convinced. Better coaching. We literally had my butt coaching last year.
You're right. But you have a rookie quarterback.
EB, Eric's butt.
You just don't know.
Yeah.
He was the coach. All right, 800-636-1067. We'll come back, take your calls here on the Junkies. So a couple interesting things about this Jahan Dotson deal. People uncovered an old tweet of his when the Eagles signed Saquon Barkley to a three-year, $37.7 million deal. Dotson tweeted in March, whose Mutt team is this? Mutt refers to Madden Ultimate Team, which is a game mode that allows you to customize your roster with legends and superstars. So people kind of found that old tweet curious. Now he's on the Eagles. The other one that I wanted to point out, and I don't know who his sources are, but Barstool Nate, who's a regular on B. Mitch and Finley, friend of the show, he said he sent this text to J.P. Finley in October of last year. And the text reads, "I've heard nothing but bad things about Dotson's attitude."
Okay.
So there might be the lack of production in the preseason, but there may be other things that the coaches are dealing with that we don't know. It might be in meeting rooms. It might be his body language. We talked about body language. We don't know.
I'm sure that was part of it.
Jason brought this up during the break. He's a first-round pick, and maybe he feels like he should be...
he should be doing this. Why should I be doing that?
Right.
Yeah. That could be part of it. We don't know. You're right. That could definitely be part of it.
Regime, and maybe they're to the point where, hey, we just don't want to tolerate guys that aren't on board.
I never heard that reputation coming out of college, but, you know, it's not like I was asking in-depth questions about Dotson.
All right, let's go back to the phones. Let's go to our pal Mo and Largo on line 6.
Mo, what's up?
Valdez, can you punch him up? What's up, Mo?
Good morning, gentlemen. Thank you for taking my call.
Good morning, Mo.
I think you kind of illuminated exactly what it is. Because if you think about it, if he, you know, based upon his talent and his prior production and him being a first round pick, that he would have value within this organization. And for them to cut ties with him at this point, it's obvious that they don't like him. He's not physical enough in the run game. You know, everybody wants to say, oh, Philly's going to use him in the slot. Well, we got a young man that obviously they think is better in the slot with McCaffrey. So, and not to mention, you know, the other receivers have proven that they have a knack for wanting to be physical, want to block downfield and so forth. Now, earlier you guys were speaking to whether or not we're better. I think we're already better because we have a quarterback that we don't have to put in his contract that he has time in off the field within the books. Okay, mm-hmm. We got a quarterback that's going to be prepared, that's going to be ready to facilitate the offense and get rid of the ball in a timely fashion, which is totally what Kyler Murray was not doing his first couple years in Arizona. So I think we're already better from a philosophy and scheme standpoint. But with Dotson and so forth, I mean, picking up the third-round pick, I think it does show that, you know, we've got some more ammunition in case we want to go after somebody. But he just wasn't the answer. And all of these rumors that we've been hearing about with his attitude and his body language, you know, it's addition by subtraction.
Are they putting their quarterback, though, in the best position by removing somebody who has had production and supposedly has talent?
I think that they've already put him in a better position just by the pieces that they put around him, excluding Dotson.
Okay,
because I don't think he was really going to play that much. You know what I'm saying? So, I mean, if you can get value for him with picks and so forth and maybe go acquire somebody else, but based upon what I'm looking at, Zacchaeus looks like number two. McCaffrey is going to be in there in the slot, and Diami looks like he's ready to play some football. So I don't really see him getting on the field. He was just a name from a prior regime that shouldn't have got drafted where he did.
By the way, right. Everybody keeps saying, well, Dotson slot. The first 2 years, he was in the slot on occasion, but Curtis Samuel was kind of the slot receiver. Mm-hmm. He was an outside receiver, Dotson.
All right, let's go to Tom in Waldorf.
Tom, what's up, buddy? You're on with the Junkies.
Hey, guys, how you doing this morning?
Good.
I got to kind of agree with EB here. I don't really think that we're losing much in a receiver who can't handle, you know, physicality at the line of scrimmage, which throws off timing with the receiver, and that's probably why he wasn't getting a lot of balls. And McCaffrey is looking good in training camp. Your rookie can step in and take his spot.
So why was he so productive? If he can't handle physicality, you're telling me he didn't face that his rookie season? Why was he so productive as a rookie?
I can't really say, but I don't think he handles the physicality, which throws off the timing at the line of scrimmage.
I would argue, can I make an argument, again, elite, that he wasn't so productive his rookie year. The counter is he had a lot of touchdowns. But, you know, like Darnarian McCants 1 year, I think, had like 6 touchdowns. Like, he just kind of happened to score six touchdowns. But it wasn't like he had 80 catches and he was just smoking guys.
Do you know how many times Terry McLaurin has caught more than seven touchdowns in his career?
He hasn't had good quarterbacks.
Zero.
Right. That's kind of fluky. Like, I think it's very hard
There's
to
never
predict.
Been a season that Terry McLaurin has had more than seven touchdowns. He had seven touchdowns and he only played, what, 11 games?
Who's better?
He had 35 catches. Go back and watch the touchdowns. They all are inside the five-yard line off play-action fake where the cornerback thinks it's a run.
Right.
He had 35. He's got the same stats as Josh Dotson after two
he's
years.
He's not different. Darnarius McKinnon had six touchdowns one year here. Look it up.
Yeah, but he missed games too. Remember that.
I know, but it's not like he lit the world on fire the first year or the second year.
Thank you,
he
pal.
Got props for
I
the
I would
touchdowns.
Love to go back and listen to what Eric Bickle was saying about Jahan Dotson his rookie year when he was
of
scoring
course,
touchdowns.
I'm going to hype up my
we
guys.
We got a stud. I guarantee he said that multiple times.
I loved the pick at the time, and I would love it if we could utilize him. I'm not against him.
Mm-hmm.
I'm pro Jahan Dotson. I was kind of sad they traded him, to be honest with you. But I'm not crazy to think just because he's luck boxed six touchdowns, you know, he happened to be a touchdown.
Seven
that year? Okay,
yeah,
great. That's great. But he didn't do it last year. It's not like he has some knack for scoring touchdowns. He just happened
and
to Drabby, be the beneficiary.
If he doesn't get hurt, he could have had 50 catches his rookie year and maybe eight touchdowns.
Maybe.
That's pretty damn good for a rookie. For a number two.
He averages 2.3 catches a game. He's played 34 games, has 81 catches. What are we so getting so worked up about? The new guys came in. He hadn't separated himself from the other receivers on the team. They're getting value for him while they can.
Right.
He also averaged just under 15 yards a catch that season. So you can tell me and maybe we need to go to it, that every one of his touchdown catches was within 5 yards. But he averaged 15 yards a catch, 14.9 yards per catch as a rookie.
He's a first-round draft pick
that's
got 1,000 career yards.
And they could be proven right that they're now relying on a guy who averaged less than one catch per game.
No.
So you're right. Those stats are not great that he averaged less than three per game in his career. But they're now, it seems like, putting in as their number two and De'Ami Brown, a guy whose career high in a season is 12 catches.
All right, I'll bet you he has more than 12.
Of course he will. He's going to play
okay, well,
more.
So why even bring it up then?
Because I don't think he's going to have the production.
Because that's what you're relying on.
No one's saying he's going to have 50.
I don't think their receiving core is going to have as much production as last year's receiving core. I don't think it's going to be better.
You're just saying
about the offense, core. So I don't care about the receiving core, and I don't know if I want to be duped into
because
Bieniemy dropped back 9 billion times last year.
You're just of the mindset that
I think
we have a better coaching staff,
yes.
So whoever we throw out there is going to be better.
Well, we have
because
better,
the system's going to be better.
Too. Austin Eckler's better. Brian Robinson's played
right,
the best.
But I'm just talking about receivers again. We're focusing on receivers.
Brian Robinson has played in two preseason games. You're saying he's playing the best football in his life?
Yeah. What is he? Is he Emmitt Smith now?
No, I didn't say that. I thought honestly, I didn't think he was that good. I said, go to the tape 3 weeks ago. I said, Brian
you're
Robinson,
not an elite
I think
arguer
is,
because you always take every side. So now you're saying,
thank
I told you he wasn't
I
that,
that
good.
Where he said, I'm
but
an
now
elite
he's
arguer.
Having
I can't argue anything.
I would love to
true.
Hear what he said
it's
about.
A terrible arguer.
I would love
I
for Valdez. I would love for Valdez to go back. I know it's asking a lot to go back 2 years
he
ago.
Loved John
to hear
Dotson.
What he said about Dotson when he was had a four catches for 80 yards and a touchdown.
He always does it.
I loved it.
We have the weapon.
Six catches for 105 and a touchdown.
On the draft day, I told you I loved the pick.
Yeah. All right. Does anybody else agree with you?
I was sad they traded him.
Let's see if John Feinstein agrees.
Come on.
John Feinstein joins us next here on the Junkies. So a couple of interesting things about this Jahan Dotson deal. People uncovered an old tweet of his when the Eagles signed Saquon Barkley to a 3-year, $37.7 million deal. Dotson tweeted in March, whose Mutt team is this? Mutt refers to Madden Ultimate Team, which is a game mode that allows you to customize your roster with legends and superstars. So people kind of found that old tweet curious. Now he's on the Eagles. The other one that I wanted to point out, and I don't know who his sources are, but Barstool Nate, who's a regular on B. Mitch and Finley, friend of the show, he said he sent this text to J.P. Finley in October of last year. And the text reads, I've heard nothing but bad things about Dotson's attitude.
Okay.
So there might be the lack of production in the preseason, but there may be other things that the coaches are dealing with that we don't know. It might be in meeting rooms. It might be his body language. We talked about body language. We don't know.
I'm sure that was part of it.
Jason brought this up during the break. He's a first-round pick, and maybe he feels like he should be...
He should be doing this. Why should I be doing that?
Right.
Yeah. That could be part of it. We don't know. You're right. That could definitely be part of it.
Regime, and maybe they're to the point where, hey, we just don't want to tolerate guys that aren't on board.
I never heard that reputation coming out of college, but, you know, it's not like I was asking in-depth questions about Dotson.
All right, let's go back to the phones. Let's go to our pal Mo and Largo on line six.
Mo, what's up?
Valdez, can you punch him up? What's up, Mo?
Good morning, gentlemen. Thank you for taking my call.
Good morning, Mo.
I think you kind of illuminated exactly what it is. Because if you think about it, if he, you know, based upon his talent and his prior production and him being a first round pick, that he would have value within this organization. And for them to cut ties with him at this point, it's obvious that they don't like him. He's not physical enough in the run game. You know, everybody wants to say, oh, Philly's going to use him in the slot. Well, we got a young man that obviously they think is better in the slot with McCaffrey. So, and not to mention, you know, the other receivers have proven that they have a knack for wanting to be physical, want to block downfield, and so forth. Now, earlier you guys were speaking to whether or not we're better. I think we're already better because we have a quarterback that we don't have to put in his contract that he has time in off the field within the books. Okay, mm-hmm. We got a quarterback that's going to be prepared, that's going to be ready to facilitate the offense and get rid of the ball in a timely fashion, which is totally what Kyler Murray was not doing his first couple years in Arizona. So I think we're already better from a philosophy and scheming standpoint. But with Dotson and so forth, I mean, picking up the third-round pick, I think it does show that, you know, we've got some more ammunition in case we want to go after somebody. But he just wasn't the answer. And all of these rumors that we've been hearing about with his attitude and his body language, you know, it's addition by subtraction.
Are they putting their quarterback, though, in the best position by removing somebody who has had production and supposedly has talent?
I think that they've already put him in a better position just by the pieces that they put around him, excluding Dotson.
Okay,
because I don't think he was really going to play that much. You know what I'm saying? So, I mean, if you can get value for him with picks and so forth and maybe go acquire somebody else, but based upon what I'm looking at, Zacchaeus looks like number two. McCaffrey is going to be in there in the slot, and Diami looks like he's ready to play some football. So I don't really see him getting on the field. He was just a name from a prior regime that shouldn't have got drafted where he did.
By the way, everybody keeps saying, well, Dotson slot. The first 2 years, he was in the slot on occasion, but Curtis Samuel was kind of the slot receiver. Mm-hmm. He was an outside receiver, John Dotson.
All right, let's go to Tom in Waldorf.
Tom, what's up, buddy? You're on with the Junkies.
Hey, guys, how you doing this morning? I got to kind of agree with EB here. I don't really think that we're losing much in a receiver who can't handle, you know, physicality at the line of scrimmage, which throws off timing with the receiver, and that's probably why he wasn't getting a lot of balls. And McCaffrey is looking good in training camp. Your rookie can step in and take his spot.
So why was he so productive? If he can't handle physicality, you're telling me he didn't face that his rookie season? Why was he so productive as a rookie?
I can't really say, but I don't think he handles the physicality, which throws off the timing at the line of scrimmage.
I would argue, can I make an argument, again, elite, that he wasn't so productive his rookie year. The counter is he had a lot of touchdowns. But, you know, like Darnarian McCants 1 year, I think he had like six touchdowns. Like, he just kind of happened to score six touchdowns. But it wasn't like he had 80 catches and he was just smoking guys.
You know how many times Terry McLaurin has caught more than seven touchdowns in his career?
He hasn't had good quarterbacks.
Zero.
Right. It's kind of fluky. Like, I think it's very hard
There's
to predict.
There's never been a season that Terry McLaurin has had more than seven touchdowns. He got seven touchdowns and he only played, what, 11 games?
Who's better?
He had 35 catches. Go back and watch the touchdowns. They all are inside the five-yard line off play-action fake where the cornerback thinks it's a run.
Right.
He had 35. He's got the same stats as Josh Doctson after
two years. He's not different. Darnarian McKinnon had six touchdowns 1 year here. Look it up.
Yeah, but he also missed games too. Remember that.
I know, but it's not like he lit the world on fire the first year or the second year.
Thank you,
he got props for
the
touchdowns.
I would love to go back and listen to what Eric Bickle was saying about Jahan Dotson his rookie year when he was scoring touchdowns.
I'm going to hype up my
guys.
We
got a stud. I guarantee he said that multiple times.
I loved the pick at the time, and I would love it if we could utilize him. I'm not against him.
Mm-hmm.
I'm pro Jahan Dotson. I was kind of sad they traded him, to be honest with you. But I'm not crazy to think just because he's luck boxed six touchdowns, you know, he happened to be a touchdown.
Seven
that year?
Yeah,
okay,
seven.
Great. That's great. But he didn't do it last year. It's not like he has some knack for scoring touchdowns. He just happened
and
to Drabby, be a beneficiary.
If he doesn't get hurt, he could have had 50 catches his rookie year and maybe eight touchdowns.
Maybe.
That's pretty damn good for a rookie, for number two.
He averages 2.3 catches a game. He's played 34 games, has 81 catches. What are we so getting so worked up about? The new guys came in. He hadn't separated himself from the other receivers on the team. They're getting value for him while they can.
Right.
He also averaged just under 15 yards a catch that season. So you can tell me, and maybe we need to go to it, that every one of his touchdown catches was within 5 yards. But he averaged 15 yards a catch, 14.9 yards per catch as a rookie.
He's a first-round draft
pick.
And what I would argue is,
and they could be proven right, that they're now relying on a guy who averaged less than one catch per game.
No.
So you're right. Those stats are not great that he averaged less than three per game in his career. But they're now, it seems like, putting in as their number two and De'Ami Brown, a guy whose career high in a season is 12 catches.
All right, I'll bet you he has more than 12.
Of course he will. He's going to play
more. So why even bring it up then?
Because I don't think he's going to have the production.
Because that's what you're relying on.
No one's saying he's going to have 50.
I don't think their receiving core is going to have as much production as last year's receiving core. I don't think it's going to be better.
You're just saying
I don't care about the offense, so I don't care about the receiving core, and I don't know if I want to be duped into
because
Bieniemy dropped back 9 billion times last year.
You're just of the mindset that I think we have a better coaching staff,
yes.
So whoever we throw out there is going to be better.
Well, we have
because
better,
the
we
system's going to be better.
Too. Austin Eckler's better. Brian Robinson's played
right,
the best
but I'm just talking about receivers again. We're focusing on receivers.
Brian Robinson has played in two preseason games. You're saying he's playing the best football in his life?
Yeah. What is he? Is he Emmitt Smith now?
No, I didn't say that. I thought honestly, I didn't think he was that good. I said, go to the tape 3 weeks ago. I said, Brian Robinson,
I think arguer is because you always take every side. So now you're saying,
thank
I told you he wasn't that good,
he said,
but now he's
I can't argue any
I would love to hear what he said about.
Terrible arguer.
I would love for Valdez to go back. I know it's asking a lot to go back 2 years ago. To hear
Dotson.
What he said about Dotson when he had four catches for 80 yards and a touchdown.
He always does it.
Six catches for 105 and a touchdown.
On the draft day, I told you I loved the pick.
Yeah. All right. Does anybody else agree with you?
I was sad they traded him.
Let's see if John Feinstein agrees.
Come on.
John Feinstein joins us next here on the Junkies.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.